Mr. Chief Justice, Honorable Justices, may it please the Court, my name is Sam Calkin of the law firm of Owen & Owens, and together with my co-counsel Jeremiah York, we represent the appellants in this matter, Deutsche Bank, Wells Fargo Bank, and Samuel I. White, P.C. I will collectively refer to these parties as Deutsche Bank. I respect the request to reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal.
All right. You're the first lawyer to request about rebuttal time today. Like it always amazes me when lawyers don't do that, but you did it. Good.
Thank you, Your Honor. This case involves two competing deeds of trust. Deed of trust recorded in 2008 in favor of Deutsche Bank for $675,000, which is a purchase money deed of trust. And the deed of trust that was recorded in 2009 in favor of Ms. Arrington that arises out of contempt perjury. Submit to the Court that the 2008 deed of trust in favor of Deutsche Bank should have priority over the later recorded deed of trust in favor of Ms. Arrington. Unfortunately, Judge Updike in the Bedford Circuit Court disagreed. And this case came before that court on cross motions for summary judgment. Judge Updike, the court, denied Deutsche Bank's motion for summary judgment and granted Ms. Arrington's motion for summary judgment. I'm asking this court to reverse that ruling and to enter an order or to hold that the 2008 Deutsche Bank deed of trust is in fact has priority. Now, at issue here, it's primarily two statutes. First, Virginia Code 55-52, which relates to our assignment of error 2. That's the after-acquired title statute, and that's critical here. And then the interplay of that statute with Virginia's recorded statute, 55-96, specifically subsection A1. Now, as was pointed out by the Chief Justice in the prior case, which dealt with the estate, which oftentimes has unique facts, this is one of those cases, real estate cases, that also has very unique facts I'll submit to the court. And therefore, the determination
is
very effective.
One of the unique facts is that your client's deed of trust doesn't appear in the chain of title, does it?
Yeah, Your Honor, we respectfully disagree. We believe it does appear in the chain of title.
Okay. Say how.
Sure. So I think in order to...
If I'm a title examiner, if I go just search the title at the courthouse, how am I going to find it?
You're going to put in the seller's name, which is, in this case, was Mr. Plucky, Ms. Arrington's ex-husband, who was the seller, or not the seller, who was the title holder at the time Ms. Arrington would have searched title in this case. There are actually 2 points where Ms. Arrington would have searched title in this case. The first time was when she realized that that Plucky was not, in fact, the owner of the property. And then the second time was after Plucky became the owner of the property, she would have searched again. Each time, a search of the title would have revealed that there was this 2008 deed of trust of record.
It sounds like the second time you're talking about, the predecessor time, is that actual notice, really. Is that what you're talking about?
No.
Because you're saying if she had really looked to see who owned the title, when she got ready to put her title on, she would have gone back and she would have seen his conveyance in the title, chain of title.
Well, Your Honor, it would have been actual notice, but it would also be constructive notice in this case, because once it's of record, whether you search title or not, it's constructive notice to all potential people who are going to either put purchase or put a lien behind it.
Yeah, but I think the point that Justice Mims is trying to make is it's not in the chain of title that she would be searching to ordinarily, and you claim it is. Is that what you're saying is?
Sure, and I think what distinguishes it from some of the cases where it talks about title being searched outside of the chain of title is this isn't your typical purchase transaction. And I think, again, it's important to step back to understand the context of how Ms. Arrington got her lien and why I submit that she would have, in fact, search title here, but I think more importantly, why
she would have searched back to a place she might not have searched otherwise. If she would just bought the property, she wouldn't search where you think she would have found this deed of trust, right?
Precisely, Your Honor.
And that's what I'm talking about. That sounds like actual notice. And if that's what you're talking about, it seems like the trial court rejected that argument.
Well, Judge, again, I don't think in that specific case it's actual notice, and I can explain
with a
recitation of how she got her lien, which I think is unique in this case.
Okay.
And didn't you agree with the trial court that there was no actual notice? Didn't you agree? You basically conceded that you were taking that issue off the table.
Actual notice is waived at the trial court. Okay. So we are not claiming and cannot claim here actual notice. That is correct, Your Honor. So actual notice is not something that we're arguing here today.
Well, how do you have constructive notice when you file your deed of trust against someone who doesn't, as far as the deed book is concerned, own the property?
Well, you have at the time of, because it interplays with Virginia Code 55-52.
Okay, I get that. We know that you have to link those two concepts to get where you want to go. But 5596, the first-in-time, first-in-right principle says it's got to be duly admitted to record. And that gives you the step up in the queue. You're first-in-time, now you're first-in-right. But the condition is it's duly admitted to record. Was this duly admitted to record?
At the time it was recorded, it was not.
Okay, well then there you go. You just lost your statutory priority.
I disagree, Your Honor. I think 5552 corrects it, and that is in essence.
Okay. I don't want to argue with you, but you have to go now to 5552 and use the after acquired doctrine to get back to priority, right?
Yes, Your Honor.
Because you're not going to get it simply because of 96.
If you record, I mean, clerks will accept recordation of anything, essentially. If you record something that has no basis in title, I would agree that if nothing else happened, this title would be outside of the chain of title.
Okay. Which so is why... I'm sorry. Finish your answer.
No, Your Honor. My point was that's why you have to interplay with 5552.
Okay. If we read 5552 so that it does not apply to this case, can you win?
It's a two-part answer. The first answer is no. But equally, if 5552 doesn't apply to this case, then Ms. Arrington's lien is equally as defective. Because that's the issue in the case, which makes these facts unique. We have two defective deeds of trust at the time they're given.
Let me ask you this. What do you make of the language in 5552, which says, such deeds shall, as between the parties thereto, have the same effect? It seems to me that their argument is, she only wants to have a lien as opposed to her ex-husband. She wants to have a lien against that property. So it's as between the parties. You're claiming it's a priority issue between you and your deed of trust and her deed of trust. So that's not between the parties.
Judge, I don't think, respectfully, that's necessarily Ms. Arrington's argument. I think they agree it's a priority issue. I think the issue of what's between the parties, I don't disagree, and I'm not asking this court to reinterpret 5552. I think it's clearly written. 5552 does not deal with recordation or notice at all. It deals with if you have a defective document, how do you get that document to be valid? In this case, there's no question, it's not disputed, that at the time each document was given, they were defective. We start from that premise. The 2008 deed of trust is defective. The 2009, at the time it's given, in March of 2009, is defective. So we need something to make these documents valid, to make them enforceable. As to the parties, that's all that 5552 does. It doesn't talk about notice, and of course, as the court is well aware, notice deals with notice to third parties, and that's where you get into priority.
And the parties in this case are, in your case, it's between the ex-husband and your bank, and between her, it's between her ex-husband and her.
Yes, Your Honor. So at that point, and I agree with the court on that point, so if we stop the clock in March of 2009, when Ryman Schneider, who is this guy who somehow got title in 2005, transfers back to Plucky, Ms. Arrington's ex-husband, as we propose, after she searched title, found out that he was Plucky was no longer the owner. At that moment, not the recordation, we've got to set aside recordation for a second. At the time that deed is delivered in March of 2009, before it's recorded, that triggers both deeds of trust becoming valid. Without that deed, both are defective and both remain defective.
Then let me ask you this question. Let's make a hypothetical. Instead of her getting that deed of trust on the second property, it's a bank that lends her $675,000. You tell me they're second in line again?
It depends. If their document was defective...
Same way here. Same fact situation.
Sure.
Just as defective as hers is. Are they now out of luck?
Yes, Your Honor. We submit it is. We submit that's different than the cases that are cited.
But they could never have seen your title in the chain of title.
We disagree. Okay. We disagree with that. We think in this case where deed of trust recorded in 2008, title searched or should have been searched in 2009.
Okay, but on that point, when title is searched, you check out conveyances of Rem Snyder from the date he got the property until the date he conveys out. He didn't convey out until Plucky got a new deed. You don't check out conveyances of Plucky when Rem Snyder owns the property. You would never see a deed of trust from Plucky between Rem Snyder and the conveyance to Plucky. That doesn't happen. The way you check title is look for out conveyances.
Your Honor, in a typical real estate transaction, I would agree with the court. Ms. Arrington waives that. She acknowledges and admits, and it's in the appendix, page 687 to 688. It's also in brief, Appellee's brief, page 7. She believed Plucky to have owned the property. She believed that the Franklin Circuit Court, who entered the contempt purge order, believed it. Certainly Deutsche Bank believed it. The only way Ms. Arrington found out that Plucky was not, in fact, the owner was because she searched him.
But no, because she searched Rem Snyder and saw he never made an out conveyance to Plucky.
Judge, I respectfully disagree because Ms. Arrington would not have known to have searched Rem Snyder. So the factual context we're in here is that the Franklin Circuit Court, from Plucky's bad deeds in the divorce, not paying certain debts off, locks Plucky up. And the court says, we'll let you out, but you've got to do the various following things. One of those things was not even specifically to give a deed of trust, but to execute the necessary documents to place a deed of trust on property he owned in Bedford County. That's all that order says. Ms. Arrington says, great, I'll take that deed of trust. Plucky signs a deed of trust over to Ms. Arrington. Ms. Arrington accepts that deed of trust, believing, and admittedly on the record, from the trial court's record, believed that Plucky owned the property. Sometime between March of 2009, when that deed of trust is given, and July of 2009, when it's ultimately recorded, Ms. Arrington discovers that Plucky is not the owner of the property. And we submit that would have happened by way of a title search, by her putting Plucky into the computer, because that's the way title is searched now, as opposed to the way it was cited from the 1965 handbook. I don't know of anybody, and I think both counsel and I do a lot of real estate work, who goes and searches the manual index anymore. You put it into the computer, and it would have been found. That's how Ms. Arrington found out that Plucky was not the owner. They waived any argument. She would not have known to search Rem Snyder. She could have searched
But of course, none of that has any effect on her if she's characterized as a lien creditor.
Excuse me, Your Honor, I'm sorry.
None of that has any effect on her if she's a lien creditor. She can have notice.
She's not a lien creditor, Your Honor. We submit.
Why not?
Well, 2 points with that. But the 5596A1, with respect to the exception for lien creditor, would not apply if there's a validly recorded deed of trust. And we submit that once 5552 kind of activates, the 2008 Deutsche Bank deed of trust becomes valid.
Now we're going to circle all the way back. If we don't believe that 5552 applies to this, 5552 would clearly apply to Plucky and Deutsche Bank, or it would apply to Arrington and Plucky. But the issue is the cross application. Am I clear on that?
Agreed.
I don't have a flip chart.
I agree.
Okay. So potentially all we're looking at is 5596, and that's why I've twice now have come back to 5596, and without looking at 5552 at the same time. Is she not a lien creditor under 5596?
She is not a lien creditor.
Why?
She was not provided. She doesn't meet the definition of a lien creditor. Now, we've cited in our brief the closest we could find to a definition under 55 for a lien creditor. It's not clearly defined. We cited to the UCC as an example, realizing it's certainly not binding. Ms. Arrington cites to the best she can do as a judgment creditor. They relate judgment creditor with lien creditor. That's the closest they can get. That's in their brief. She's not a judgment creditor. Remember, the way her deed of trust arises is by the Franklin Circuit Court saying to Plucky, you got to pay off these debts. Now, mind you, it was $138,000. I'm using rough figures here. Actually, I don't have to use rough figures. I have here, and it's in the appendix.
That doesn't matter the amount. Just keep going.
Yeah, it's in the appendix, page 88. And there, $55,000 or so are being paid off to third parties, and the remainder is being paid for attorney's fees. This is not a judgment. It's not docketed. Unlike a child support lien or a spouse's support lien, which by way of statute becomes a judgment that's docketed, this isn't a judgment lien.
Okay. So I hear you say she is not a lien creditor. If we disagree with that, was your deed of trust duly admitted to record,
yes,
quote unquote?
It was. At the time, and it became duly admitted to record at the time 5552, the after-acquired title statute. And Judge, I understand the issue with the parties because that's primarily the argument made by Ms. Arrington. I don't disagree.
The argument made by Justice Millett as between the parties. Well, I don't have the exact
in Houseman, Your Honor.
Well, I'm looking at the statute.
But 5552
as between the parties there too.
And I see I have 42 seconds, so I guess I waive my 3 minutes. If the court will allow me to continue to finish this point, then I will step down. 5552 does not deal with reprobation. So I agree with the court that if nothing else happened, there was no recording issue here, it would only apply to make those documents binding as between the parties. If the holding of the court is that that's all it does, and you can't do anything else with it, you can't record, then there's no application, there's no practical application of 5552.
Well, that's what the statute says. You said if the court holds that it's as between the parties, it's not a matter of us holding. It's a matter of the statute saying those exact words.
And Judge, I'm not disagreeing with you. What I'm saying is, and I have 5 seconds left, if I may finish this point.
I'd like to hear his answer.
Absolutely.
The 5552 is the first step in the analysis. We need to first make sure that these documents are valid, both documents. And to the court's point, if 5552 doesn't apply, neither deed of trust is valid. They both fail. 5552, I submit to the court, does apply. Once we make both deeds of trust valid, then we have to look at, okay, now that they're valid, as between those parties, which is the only parties you can make it valid to, we're not talking about who does it have priority with to the to third parties or to the world. We're talking about, is it valid? Can I sue under that document as a contract or as a trust document? Once we get to that point, we then have to look further and say, what's the priority of these documents? Where are they recorded in the record? And that's the distinction in this case. So we're not saying that the party should be ignored, that language in 5552. We're saying certainly it should be wholly looked at. And as between the parties to these documents, the documents become valid. We then have to ask ourselves, once the documents are valid, where are they in relation to each other? Two defective documents becoming valid, where are they? And certainly the 2008 Deutsche Bank deed of trust was recorded first. It enjoys priority.
No questions. Right.
Thank you, Your
Honor. May it please the Court, Mr. Chief Justice, Honorable Justices, I'm George Vogel here with Aaron Asheville representing the appellee, Lenore Arrington. Risking getting out of turn, I'd like to continue with the discussion thread that we just had about the appellant saying that somehow or another these deeds of trust were defective. These deeds of trust were never defective as between the parties. As soon as the deeds of trust were signed in 2006 by Mr. Plucky and to Deutsche Bank, and when the deed of trust was signed in May of 2009 for Mrs. Arrington, those were valid deeds of trust. There's nothing defective about them. They're valid between the parties, and that's what 5552 tells us. The question then becomes is, when do they become valid as to the rest of the world, or, another way of putting it, when do they become liens against the property? They only become liens against the property when they are actually placed of record in the correct chain of title. When Deutsche Bank's deed of trust was recorded in 2008, it was outside the chain of title, as everyone has recognized here today. The 2009 deed of trust to Mrs. Arrington was the first lien recorded in the correct chain of title for this property. Therefore, at that time, that's when the lien became a lien against the property or valid as to the rest of the world.
Let me interrupt you and ask you one question. And if they wanted to make their lien valid as against the rest of the world, they would have to re-record it after the deed came into...
That's one way of doing it, Your Honor. And the problem with doing that, and doing these closings for years, the problem with that is you have to have the original document to re-record it.
So how could they do it? What could they do?
Well, they tried to do that. They filed the 2010 case where Deutsche Bank filed a complaint against Plucky and several other lien holders. I believe they were homeowners association dues. They filed a 2010 complaint asking the Circuit Court of Bedford County to find that their deed of trust was valid. The problem is that was 6 months after Mrs. Arrington had already perfected her lien.
Right, I'm not talking about the problem with her, but with the rest of the world. How can they protect themselves against the rest of the world?
Well, that's how they tried to do it, Your Honor, by filing the complaint asking the Circuit Court of Bedford County to find that their lien was valid. Because, honestly, they realized that they had a problem. They realized in 2010 that somehow or another that their deed of trust was not a lien against the property, and they had to find a way to fix that. So they tried to do that, and they did do that by filing the suit with Bedford County. The problem is there was an intervening lien placed against the property when Mrs. Arrington filed her deed of trust in mid-2009. So they couldn't usurp her priority by filing the case. They could only make their deed of trust valid
Remember, they put the record.
Exactly.
Put the rest of the world on notice. Yeah.
And that's what Judge Updike was so astute about. When they filed the 2010 deed of complaint, trying to validate their deed of trust, and Mrs. Arrington, even though she was a lien creditor, was not made a party to that suit, Judge Updike refused to acknowledged that it was a priority deed of trust or a first lien deed of trust. He said, I can't tell you what other liens out there. I can't tell you what other intervening deeds of trust or liens have occurred since the time that the deed of trust was signed in 2006. That would be for a title examiner to tell me. I would need a title exam report in order to determine the lien priority of Deutsche Bank's deed of trust when the judgment was entered. And Deutsche Bank, at the time Judge Updike made that ruling and said, I need a title report, they never came back to the court and said, well, here we are. This is why we're a first lien deed of trust. Instead, they simply proceeded to try to foreclose on the property. So this notion that there was somehow some sort of defect in these deeds of trust is missing the point. They were valid as to the parties, according to 5552, and then we moved to 5596 to determine their priority.
If I understand opposing counsel's argument, his argument is that she is not a lien creditor because this arises out of monies that she was owed from a property settlement agreement and the court then ordering that he place a lien on the property to her. To answer their argument that she's not a lien creditor in the sense of 5596.
She clearly is a lien creditor because she received only what Franklin County Circuit Court granted her. The Franklin County Circuit Court said in order to not be held in contempt, Mr. Pawlucky, you have to do these certain things. And Mrs. Arrington was not put in a position to say, well, this is good enough, Judge, or this isn't good enough, or I want to be in first lien position, or I want to be in second lien position. The circuit court's order simply said, put a lien against your property, a deed of trust lien against your property, securing Mrs. Arrington's debts, collateralizing those debts for her benefit. The other argument to that, Your Honor, is that the three orders of the Franklin County Circuit Court were recorded and attached to the deed of trust that was given to Mrs. Arrington. Those three orders are judgments. They're judgments that affect land. And if you look at 801.426, that clearly says that a judgment of a court which affects land is a judgment, is in its terms a judgment. It then becomes a lien, a judgment lien, when it's recorded in the clerk's office of which the property, where the property exists. So the instance that the deed of trust and the three judgments of Franklin County were placed of record in the land records of Bedford County, they then became a lien against that property. So they're trying to differentiate between a judgment creditor and a lien creditor is not applicable in this case. She's a judgment creditor when Franklin County entered its order. She then became a judgment lien creditor when that order was recorded in the Bedford County Circuit Court land records. So to say that she's not a lien creditor would discount and not give meaning to those three orders of Franklin County. It would also indicate that she somehow had the ability to change her position. She didn't. She was only able to receive what the court ordered that she receive.
Counsel, earlier you used the expression within the chain of title. Is that your way of creating a synonym for duly admitted to record in 5596?
Correct, Your Honor. Something cannot be of record if it has the wrong person's name or the wrong property. It can be admitted to record. It just can't have any legal effect if it's in the wrong name or has the wrong property description.
So with that very simple definition, which appears to be right, The Deutsche Bank deed of trust obviously doesn't qualify for 5596 first in time right.
Exactly, Your Honor. And if you also proceed and look at 55105, that is another statute that deals directly with the priority of liens and says that a deed of trust or a deed that is recorded outside of the legal holder's name is not a valid lien against the property. So you have 5596, which gets us there. And then 55105 bolsters that argument and specifically says it is not a lien.
The logical train would be, first, is he first in time, first in right? Answer, no, because the Deutsche wasn't duly recorded. Second, does after acquired retroactively give him a priority status by virtue of the operation of that statute? And the answer is either yes or no. But if the answer is yes, they still have to beat your lien creditor argument.
Correct. Right.
But if the answer is no, it doesn't matter.
Correct. If the 55, I would argue the 55-52 doesn't apply at all to priorities, whether she's a lien creditor or a bona fide purchaser for value. Because of the specific language, it says that it's as to the parties only. It does not affect third parties of the rest of the world.
Well, if, assuming that were to be true, is this an oversimplistic interpretation of this case? 5596 doesn't apply because it wasn't duly admitted to record prior to your deed of trust. So that'd be the end of the case.
Correct. It's as if the Deutsche Bank deed of trust doesn't exist.
For
because it was in the wrong legal owner's name. And I would argue that this case has always been simplistic. It's when the appellants try to apply the various ways in which it isn't simplistic that it becomes very convoluted and very complicated to weed out what is applicable and what is not applicable. And it is very simple when you look at 5596 and 55185. And since 5552 doesn't apply, you can stop the analysis right there.
This seems like purely a legal question when it's presented this way, but the trial court judge indicated that the equities all fall with Ms. Arrington, and obviously appellants want us to use a standard of review that is purely a de novo review based on the legal question. I mean, you have an argument, obviously, that rests solely in the legal scenario.
Yes,
but what is your view if this were considered an equities case and in terms of the standard of review?
First, it's clearly not an equities case, but
that's what the trial court judge indicated.
That it was an equities case?
Well, I mean, his analysis is the equities fall with Ms. Arrington.
But,
therefore.
Correct. And I would argue that that was dicta almost on behalf of the trial court. The reason that he, I would say, threw that in at the end is because the appellants, during their arguments and during the entire oral argument of the summary judgment phase, were arguing that equities were equal between the parties because they kept trying to push that Wasserman case that's from 1905. And in that case, it said where the equities are equal, the first in right is the first in priority. So the judge, I think, was just trying to make it clear to the rest of the world or to us or to the Supreme Court that the equities were not equal. I don't think he based his decision on that. He based his decision on the fact that their deed of trust was recorded outside the chain of title, our deed of trust was recorded inside the chain of title, there was no actual notice, there could not be any constructive notice, therefore Mrs. Arrington has the first lien priority deed of trust over Deutsche Bank's deed of trust. So, yes, he did make that statement. We never argued that it should have been based on equities. It was purely the appellants that argued that equities had something to do with the analysis. Therefore, the judge felt like he had to throw that in to reject their argument. One other issue I'd like to bring up that was discussed earlier during the appellant's argument was whether or not she would have found, or Mrs. Arrington would have found the deed of trust if she'd done a title search. First of all, because she's a lien creditor, she had no duty to perform a title search. As I stated earlier, she purely received what the court, Franklin County Circuit Court, gave her. Doing a title search would not have done her any benefit whatsoever. She couldn't change what she got. She was purely receiving and not put in a position where she had to ensure that what she was receiving was adequate. Second, they allege that because we realized that Plucky was not the legal title owner, that somehow or another a title search was actually performed. It is very easy to determine whether somebody owns a piece of property or not without performing a title search. It's done all the time, and it's done through either the GIS systems of individual localities, or you can find the deed where the property was purchased and start a chain of title that goes back and discovers what deeds are within the chain of title. However, that does not mean you performed a title search. A title search involves pulling every single deed in the chain, every outconveyance in the chain, to determine whether or not it affects your piece of property or not. So just because someone, Mrs. Arrington's former counsel, found out that that deed of trust, or that deed, let me back up, that property was not owned by Mr. Pluffy, in no way represents that a title search was performed. And then taking it one step further, even if you were to say a title search was performed, you wouldn't have found the deed of trust. As you said, Justice McClanahan, you only check the outconveyances. You do not check the grantee's index to determine whether or not deeds of trust are outside the chain of title, which is essentially what they're asking us to do, asking this court to do. So, in conclusion, Your Honors, got off track and then I stayed off track. It's clear that the appellants knew they had a problem when they filed their 2010 lawsuit. If they didn't, if their logic held, there would have been no need for them to file the lawsuit in 2010, asking Bedford County Circuit Court to find their deed of trust valid. They're now asking the court to usurp Mrs. Arrington's priority in their favor. And essentially they're asking the court to throw out centuries of legal precedents regarding real estate rights and rules of priority to correct the obvious failures that occurred when they attempted to secure their lien. Thank you.
Call the next case.